Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Got another dude! Hey!
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Dudes to the right, dudes to the left, stuck in the middle with you.
Got another dude!
Heisman Trophy. Bronco Nagurski Award. Ultimate dudes.
Got another dude.
O-line you, bunch of dudes. Lot of dudes.
Yeah! Another dude in the house.
Welcome to the Lot of Dudes podcast, season 1, episode 12. Big bad Dave Doran and Wolfpack huffed and they puffed and they blew BC's house down on Saturday, outlasting the Wounded Eagles by a score of 17-14. The defeat ends BC's three-game win streak, and despite outplaying the number 23 team in the country, without their starting QB and the best defensive player in the country, the loss has left many Fairweather fans crying wolf, Matt. On today's episode, we'll break down what went wrong versus the Pack, talk dude to pood, maybe even sneak in some basketball talk, and we'll get you ready for the fuckfest at Fenway this weekend.
Yeah, and as if this week couldn't have gotten any worse, this is a little bit of a flu game for me. I went for a run in 40-degree temperatures the other night. Definitely caught cold, as they say in the old days. So that's why you don't exercise. Again, I don't want to make this episode about me, but kind of kicking me when I'm down. Feel a little achy, so bear with me, and your thoughts and prayers are appreciated.
I haven't been sick since the second grade. I actually had perfect attendance throughout high school. Got an award for that. Helped get me into college. So sorry that you don't have a strong of a immune system.
Yeah,
there,
we can't all be dudes of the week. So, but I think honestly, this was honestly about as disappointing of a ball game as we could possibly draw up. You know, I think there was a lot of talk going into the game where NC State is, credit, they're absolutely a good team, but they gave us a million chances to win that game. We didn't take it. There was talk going into the game where if it was a hard fought game and, our offense still looked good, but we ended up losing by 3 points, but, at 3 points, that was actually, a good performance. People could live with that. But I think the way this broke out was just an absolute nightmare. Again, like I said, I mean, there were so many opportunities to take this game. I mean, I could count, at least six off the top of my head. One went by the wayside.
So could they, right?
I mean, no, they gave us the game. They absolutely, we just didn't take any of those opportunities.
They missed three field goals.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, bottom line is they're the number 23 team in the country. They've had a really heck of a year. They have three very, very good players, and we hung with them and quite frankly looked like a better team for much of the game until Brown got hurt and all hell kind of broke loose. So people are saying, it was a winnable game. We should have won and we blew it, which is true. But how about we focus on the bright side just for a second here and say, hey, we hung very tight and should have beat the number 23 team in the country. That's where the state of the program is. I think there's a lot of positives in that.
Again, though, I think that, and we've talked about this all year, NC State is just not the 23rd best team in the country. I know the rankings
say
that.
Well, now they're not. Now
19th best team, yeah.
So,
but right. I think, honestly, I mean, if you watch that game, at no point were you saying this is a dominant team. And, again, it wasn't – obviously, again, BC's defense played well enough. They did a good job. They, forced mistakes. But at the same time, it wasn't like – they were this stifling team and we were just kind of, getting some good bounces. I mean, they played very poorly and they gave that game up 100 times and we just couldn't grab, we really needed to just grab like one opportunity. We couldn't do that. So that's why it's so disappointing for me. I think this is a huge missed opportunity. This would have been a humongous win. I don't know if it would have gotten us, votes in some polls, but I think it would have gotten us at least looked at. And again, now I think we're a year away from that. Obviously, there's a ton of positives to take out of this team still.
Do we win the game if Brown stays healthy? If he stays in the game?
I mean, that's hard to say. I mean, I think so because our offense didn't move the ball. Yeah, I think so because our offense didn't move the ball when Wade got in, and we'll get into that. But I also don't think that excuses us not taking advantage of any of the opportunities that were on the table.
do we win the game if Landry's in there? You know, I mean, that
one's not as strong because our defense, you know, our defense, tough, right? 17 they points, did, you should win that it game. Wasn't on the way defense. Our offense is clicking.
I agree. But I'm just saying here, who would have thought that, you know, looking back from last year, you know, we've improved, right? So everyone said we lost by margin of 200 points to ranked teams last year. Here we are playing, you know, a good NC State team that's hung tough with Clemson, that's been, you know, ranked for all season long. And, you know, we played them tough and we should have won. That's the part I'm focusing on. I know there's stuff that, you know, we went for maybe an ill-advised play call on fourth down, stuff like that. You can nitpick all day. Something happened at the end of the first half that everyone is arguing every single direction of that point that I don't understand. We can get more into that in my pood. Let's just take a step back. This team's come a long way. They're all freshmen. Our quarterback got hurt. We don't have the reigning defensive player of the year from last year. And we still should have won that game. So that's where my head's at. I know I'm Silver Spoon, you know, Matt over here, what's the silver lining, Matt?
Silver lining, yep, silver lining, Matt.
but that's the part I'm trying to focus on more than a couple plays, you know, a break that could have gone here and there. And that would have swung the game. So I'm disappointed, obviously, but let's take a step back on the refire Daz again.
Well, I think the frustrating part is that, you know, there was a time and a place in this season where a moral victory would have been, you know, tremendously welcomed. But I think credit to this team and credit to the year that they've, you know, put together so far and specifically over the last month. But I don't really respect the moral victory anymore. I think what we saw over the last month gave us a higher expectation. And again, look, I agree with you. We win this game if Brown doesn't go down. But I still don't think that's necessarily an excuse for missing all of these opportunities. So I think it's just frustrating because this was a golden opportunity for us to get that bowl win. And by the way, still stare, you know, eight wins in the face. And, you know, now obviously with Wade, and we'll talk about it a little bit, but we're gonna have to claw to seven. By the way, just a quick note. I got some feedback last week. I've said obviously way too much. It's kind of my... If you've noticed, there's a trend over the course of this podcast where I think both you and I have kind of fallen in love with a different word, you know, every 2 weeks or so. I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm sure you have one. But obviously,
sometimes I say the F word a lot.
Yep, that'll do it. Obviously, was the one that I got a lot of heat for. So I've done it a couple times so far this episode, but it's a work in progress. Again, flu game. Don't blame me.
Couple things here, I don't want to give away my pood, but this fan base just drives me nuts, Matt. They are so uneducated, and this is kind of making me into our target audience.
Yeah, I don't like this here.
This is probably a bad way to go about it, but there's a select few people out there that don't know what they're talking about, and it drives me nuts. And we're saying we're playing not to win, or we're playing too conservative. If anything, it was the opposite, right, Matt? I mean, we went for it on fourth down four times. You know, obviously the game plan had to change when Brown went out and Wade went in, and that was right around the time where they realized that, you know, A.J. Dillon is actually one of the best players in the country and they should stack the box. But it becomes a tough defense when they're stacking the box with their backup quarterback in there, with Chubb coming around on the other side. So if you try to pass it, you know, you got to get rid of it quick, which, you know, Wade obviously looked like deer in the headlights at certain points. But at the end of the day, if Brown stays in there, I think we win that game, you know, pretty handily, right? So,
well, you know, I don't necessarily have any issues with the aggressiveness approach. I think I do want to touch on it. There was, I think, a lot of stupidity in some of the decisions, but at no point was, you know, as watching that, was I saying, all right, you know, they're just turtling or they're just trying to get into the half. I think that, you know, the specific obviously one, there went obvious again. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm actually now starting to notice.
Now you're thinking about it. the biggest one was certainly the final drive in the fourth quarter. You know, they tried to be aggressive and they threw it three or four times, whatever. I don't know if they went four downs or they punted, but at the same time, why do we not have the, again, as you said, the best player on the field? You know, he's got to be in the game.
They couldn't run
there.
The football, because that's when they started to shut it down, Matt. And if you look at the you know, the drives in the second half, it was, you know, Dillon, where he had been getting, you know, 5 to 10 yards a carry, he was down to, you know, 2 yards a carry, getting stuffed, or, you know, getting a 4 yard loss. They had to pass the football. There was only 3 minutes left to go. Should he have been out there for a play? Yeah, I guess. But, you know, he obviously hasn't shown that he can catch the football. So, you know, maybe you throw Levy out there, right? Because I don't want Hillman out there anymore, but you throw Levy out there, maybe you do a screen to him. I'm okay with that. But I think at that point in the game, they had to start tossing the ball around. You're not going to get in a field goal range you know, running up the middle and stuff. So they had to do something.
But that's been a frustrating thing as well with the game plan. Up the middle, just, and I don't know if it's just the running backs we have or what the line's doing or whatever. Up the middle running has just not worked all year. When we go outside, that's when we get.
Yeah, you can't throw that up out the window, Matt. I mean, you gotta keep the defense off.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, if you want to run, you know, outside the tackles and then throw, that's a good balance. The other thing that frustrated me was why the game plan with Wade this game was so different than the game plan that worked with him against Louisville. I don't know if he just, you know, kind of
Louisville's defense is garbage, and NC
State
has one of the top defenses.
Completely different against Louisville. He was doing these quick, two-step rollouts and hitting Sweeney for 5 yards, and that worked. And yeah, obviously Louisville's got a bad defense, but they didn't try that. Instead, he sat in the pocket for 10 seconds until Chubb came on his blind side every other snap, and he avoided a broken ankle, I'm sure, you know, 10 times that game. So that was a little frustrating to me. You know where his strengths and, more importantly, his weaknesses are, and I think that the game plan there was not well adjusted, you know, as well as it probably should have been. So that was frustrating to watch, too. You know, it did feel like kind of BC of old there, where they got the ball and you just didn't really have, you know, much hope there.
Oh, no, I knew they were toast.
Right. And their only score when they got in was after the Schwab pick.
It was the backwards pass.
Oh, right. Which is, again, another idiotic play, but at least that wasn't on us. But yeah, I mean, I think the play calling with Wade was frustrating.
You got to blame that on Daz, too.
No, it wasn't. Take it easy. You know, the three lost field goals, we'll say, with the bad snap, that was too bad. And then I strongly disagree, obviously, with that. This obvious thing is going to murder me, by the way. I strongly disagree with the fourth down play call on Wade's first snap.
You want to talk about that right now, Matt?
That first of all, you can't run the play that worked against this exact same team 2 years in a row. That's just not how football works, number one. Number two, again, we have the best running back in the country. And at that point, the run was still working just fine. So at least why not have, you know, Dylan in there to make a decision? Hilleman stinks. Or kick the 17-yard field goal and get the 3 points that would take us to overtime.
Monday morning court, you can Monday morning quarterback the shit out of that, obviously.
If you can't agree with that call. Agree with that call. You can agree with going for fourth down, but you cannot agree with that play call.
I'll tell you what, I can actually agree with it, and here's why. Wade came in. Everyone in the world knew that it was going to be a run up the middle with Dylan. So you can't do that because they have a great front seven, Matt. That would have been stuffed 9 times out of 10. Could you kick it there? Yeah, that would have been fine. But also, you know, we're playing NC State. We're driving down the field. Let's get a touchdown, Matt. That play should have worked. The NC State, you know, obviously read it very well. But I think he had to do something other than run it up the middle. And by the way, I mean, Wade obviously couldn't complete anything else. So you had to do something different. I actually liked the play call. If it worked, it would have been awesome. And it's also not – maybe that was Adazio, but let's think about who's calling the plays. Adazio does not call the plays.
Yeah,
He admitted
in the press conference that was him.
It was his call. And maybe that's him covering for – no, it's not. That was Tim Tebow's jump pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Adazio and Oliver. But overall, let's just remind ourselves who's calling the play. Adazio is not a micromanager. It's Loeffler that's, you know, designing the game plans for these quarterbacks, or at least executing the game plans.
Well, I'm going to disagree with the micromanage. I think, except for the last month, I think he's been pretty hands on. But that's another.
He's never called a play in his life. He's responsible for the macro view, calling the timeouts, that type of stuff.
God help Loeffler, us, by the way, if Daz is on the time management. God help us all.
Listen, it's Loeffler's call, and I agree they should have. You know, obviously, you know, had more protection to Wade's blind side specifically. I thought they did a bad job there. But it's hard to prepare for losing your starting quarterback. Obviously, we're seeing that Florida State, all hell breaks loose when you lose your starting guy. I thought they still hung in there. Specifically, the defense played great, and they lost a winnable game. And it sucks, but kudos to them for being in it to begin with and staying in it against a very good NC State team.
Well, I certainly don't think you and I are going to see completely eye to eye here. So I think we can
What if the jump pass worked, though? He'd be coach of the year.
Yeah, it would have been. But the odds of that working were, I would say, certainly not in the favor of us. So that's the problem there. Yeah, if it worked, it would have been incredible. If they ran a fake field goal, if the bad snap was intentional and that worked, that would have been awesome, too. But these things are just not how the real world works. The disappointing part here is, again, I think coming into this, we were staring 9 wins with the bowl win squarely in the face, a trip to Nashville or some other top tier bowl. The unfortunate reality, again, with Wade is that 6-6 is now very much back in the picture. Obviously, you know, with that final game up in Cuse, if they have bowl eligibility on the line, that does not make me feel all too comforting. So that's really frustrating. I
think. Now that the game doesn't matter, we're gonna blow Cuse out because now it doesn't.
I think it does matter because it's basically gonna be a play-in game for the Pinstripe Bowl if Cuse.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
If we have the same record as Cuse, I mean, they're gonna get picked 1,000 times out of 1,000 over us. So especially with us going 2 years ago and them being, you know, such a big footprint here. So disappointing all around. You know, I think. I'm happy that we have UConn this week, and we'll get into that in a minute. That's definitely a good bounce back game, but definitely too bad and left a bad taste in all of our mouths for the past 5 days or so.
All right, that's probably enough NC State for 2017. We'll see you guys next year. My dude of the week is going to be God, specifically the special teams gods, Matt, for giving Dave Doran just a taste of his own medicine.
Yeah, he deserved
on the special
that.
Teams. He handled that whole – it was a delay game, I think, every single time they tried to attempt to kick a field goal. Daz was obviously, you know, playing around with the kicker, icing him three straight times. That was awesome.
It was awesome. It did not work, but I did enjoy it. The bar was – I haven't heard it as loud as I heard it when he called that third straight timeout, and the guy made it again that time. If you were to end up missing that on his fourth try, that would have been probably an all-time moment.
It was just poetic because everyone knows. I mean, if you know anything about NC State and or about anything, you know that Dave Doran is just an awful human being. He's a terrible guy. And it was great to see, you know, special teams are kind of like the, you know, anything can happen, karma type of unit. So to see that things were going, especially in the first half, things were going as badly for Dave Doran as they were. That just put a smile on my face, Matt.
Hey, just to play a little devil's advocate here, if special teams are kind of where karma comes into play, what happened on that last snap to Jeff Smith there?
Yeah, and so that's what goes around comes around.
Thanks,
sort of
God.
Thing.
Thanks for nothing, God.
they giveth and they taketh away there, Matt.
I guess so. My dude of the week is switching gears from basketball, or I'm sorry, from football over to basketball. My dude of the week is going to be Teddy Hawkins. He is our fifth-year grad transfer this year. And so far through the first three games, as I'll get into in a minute, he's been, you know, pretty much lights out, single-handedly led a comeback last night to run away with, you know, a 25-point win. We've had a few fifth years over the past, I want to say 3 years. One of them was horrible. Eli Carter was terrible. He was, you know, supposed to be so good. Tavy last year was fine. But Teddy Hawkins actually seems like a difference maker. That was kind of what he was touted as when we got him. So definitely happy to have him. Very fortunate to have, you know, some experience, size, you know, on our sidelines. So hopefully he leads to a more successful year throughout the course of the season.
Well, I would say it's already more successful because we haven't lost to the likes of Hartford.
That is true.
And who else did we lose?
We had our season opening loss last year was in the same net as the Florida State game. It was the worst end of it. And it was maybe the worst loss. I'm not going to know it off the top of my head, but it was.
LSU State Southern Southeastern.
I'll pull it up here. Hang on, give me a second. Oh, Nicholls State.
That's right.
Nicholls State. Yeah, yep. It was Nicholls State, and then they lost to Sacred Heart, I think. Although this Google schedule,
they lost to both teams.
Yeah, they lost to most. Yeah, they lost to Richmond. So again, I mean, you know, with a convincing 25-point win over or whatever the number was, it was around 25 points last night over Sacred Heart. It's definitely a step in the right direction, and 3-0 feels good. I think that's nice.
Yeah, so anytime your best player can go 1-for-14 from the floor, that's always, you know, great against Sacred Heart. Looking forward to what Jerome Robinson can do against the likes of Duke and the rest of the ACC.
Your negativity here is really quite something. I know this is all a defense mechanism for Daz because you don't want football to be kind of the laughingstock of Boston College, but just enjoy this one for a minute, man. I mean, we're 3-0 for the first time in God knows how long. Robinson didn't have a great game, but the team still won by 25 points. That's something to celebrate.
All right, it's Sacred Heart, pal. Let's pump the brakes just a little bit here. Okay, that's enough basketball talk.
Well, don't spoil it. No, I got a little more coming, so you can jump into your dude or poo, and then I'll keep rolling.
All right. I already kind of gave away my poo here, Matt, but it's just how and I don't want to use the word stupid, but just how infuriating BC fans are.
Again, I don't like you painting with a broad brush here. I think that's specifically, I think that's not fair when you're on the you're so much on the offensive here. You're playing kind of the opposite card.
Maybe I'm the stupid one. I don't think that's true though, Matt. I think it's and I have a theory. I think it's all these BC fans that were off the bandwagon. Then we won 3 in a row and we beat Florida State. Now everyone's back on the bandwagon And they forgot that everyone else actually likes Daz now, so we're still going to hate on Daz. Specifically, BC Fake Baldwin, who was, if you guys remember, he's the petition guy who
allegedly,
you know, who had the
allegedly.
I'm pretty sure based on his responses that was the same guy. But basically, we got in a pretty heated Twitter fight with Fake Baldwin, which is just a wild thing to think about. But basically, he was just rooting against the hometown Eagles, which you hate to see that, right? I mean, let's get, even though I just did that against the basketball.
Yeah, you did.
Team,
I mean, get out of here.
Yeah.
Talk about both sides of your mouth.
But I'm just saying, I mean, he was rooting hard against the guys, and I sort of laid out all the reasons. You know, he was asking, you know, what has Adazio done to, you know, not get fired? And I laid all the reasons out and how dumb it would be to fire him, which everyone agrees with at this point,
well,
except for a select few.
Yeah.
At least prior to that game.
You're a little, again, I think you're definitely a little bit more biased here than the rest. So careful with the everyone. But keep going.
Was everyone not fully on board? Was 90% of the fan base not fully on board after the three game win streak?
I think the important thing to say there would be that if it continued to look the way it looked, I think obviously
they're not going
to
win every single game, Matt.
No, I get that. But if he went out and reverted back to what we saw kind of at the start of the year and lost his final three games, I think a lot of people would feel differently if we finished at 5-7. Rather than, you know, what we all thought could have been, you know, an 8-4 year.
So anyway, Fake Baldwin, you know, gave us a bunch of BS about how he's had enough time and how even though we have the best player in the country in A.J. Dillon as a freshman, and he's probably going to transfer if Daz leaves, we should still fire Daz and start over and hire someone else. So that's my pood. It's really put me in a dark place.
I will also say I think that you're definitely a little high on the transfer train if a coach leaves. Obviously,
yeah,
there's
yeah,
a chance
that's
of it.
Such a, that's
there's
such
obviously
a smoking
chance
gun.
Of it. It's there's a chance of it.
Gun.
There's a chance of it, but it's, again, there's a reason that when coaches get fired or leave, you know, the entire 53-man roster doesn't pack up and leave campus the next day.
Well, a lot of the good ones do because they'll have offers elsewhere, and he can go anywhere in the country, obviously, right? Michigan will be like, yeah, sorry, we said you couldn't be a running back. You can be a running back. Sorry about that. So anyway, just saying. Why don't you go? That was my pood, but what do you got?
Yeah, so I'll do mine back to back here because they're related. So our pood is us. We did not mention BC basketball starting last week. That's just like a really bad job.
Who does you? They played Maine. Sorry.
Yeah, but I think with season starts, it's still worth discussing here. Again, I know you're so anti BC basketball. The only
this
team
is going to get old
more,
pretty quick.
The only
it?
Team you hate more is BC baseball for some reason, but BC basketball you're also equally negative on, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But
love the hockey team though.
Yeah, I guess
I like the good teams, Matt. I like hockey. Like, you have legends like Coach York and Coach Adazio. I like hockey and football.
Oh, you're going to put Adazio the same class as York. Okay, just glad we know what we're dealing with here. So, yeah, bad job by us. I mentioned basketball in the kind of first week leading up to the year here, at least just kind of giving the guys a quick shout out. Other poot here is us thinking that Wade was a good quarterback at the start of the year. That just looks stupider and stupider by the minute. That's really all I have to say there.
Well, Matt, if you remember the spring game, he looked so good in the spring game.
How did that work out?
He looked very good in mop-up duty, too. This was his first bad game, and it was very bad. We don't know why, but I agree. If you have the same game plan that you did against Louisville, I mean, I'm not worried about UConn, and more on that later, but there's no way. I mean, I could go in there and play quarterback.
I agree.
UConn, right?
Right, but you're not a good quarterback, so neither is he. And that's all I'm saying.
I'm not a bad quarterback. I threw a lot of picks, like in intramurals.
I threw a lot of picks. Yep.
But I wasn't a bad quarterback. I was a game manager, Matt, but I threw a lot of picks, too, which is
a combination. Yeah, that's the opposite of a game manager. Yep, that's not good.
You're right.
My dude keeping it rolling on the basketball would just be, again, BC basketball in general.
No one cares,
This is it. I care. I know you don't care, but I care. Maybe people don't care about all the Adazio love that you have, but I'm not going to call you out for that.
That's a good point. That's probably true.
BC basketball, again, starting up 3-0. Three convincing wins. Yeah, not against anyone great, but these are games that I think really over the past, you know, probably since Reggie Jackson, are games that we kind of claw through, if not lose. This is really the first time in a long time that we've come out and you know, had three consecutive convincing 20-point wins, gotten the walk on some mop-up duty. So that's a nice feeling. It's a much different look than what we're used to. So hopefully we're about to turn a corner here. You know, it won't take a whole lot to see some significant progress. So
when's our first real game?
Postseason play. Real game. I think we play Providence in the pre ACC season, but we played Duke pretty early this year.
We'll talk more basketball once they play a non-high school team, Matt.
Okay, Matt. Okay, looking forward to that. They play Providence in 10 days, and they play Texas Tech this week.
Okay. All right.
They play Texas Tech on Saturday.
If they beat Texas Tech, and I don't know how good they are, but if they beat Texas Tech, I'll allow
them next week's pod. In the next 10 days, we got Texas Tech, Providence, Nebraska, and then Duke on December 9th. So we got some good stuff coming down the pipeline.
Providence, huh? What are you guys selling, cannolis or something?
Yep, there you go. All right,
that's from The Departed.
Yeah, it is. When you get your dude, right?
Yeah, can I do my dude? Jeez. Yeah. All right, my dude. Let me pull it up. Oh, so we're just kind of switching gears to UConn here. This season has been so stressful. Every game, this is kind of a vacation week. I know we had the bye recently, but this is like a real. There's a BC game, but it's still kind of like a vacation because there's absolutely no way we lose to UConn. I'm gonna jinx it, but. Matt, let me finish. I'm so much looking forward to Saturday. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a social event, and who cares about the game because we're going to win by a million, and it's just going to be a fun day at Yard House, fun day at the stadium. You know, take me out to the ballpark. It's going to be great, Matt. So that's my dude. I'm looking forward to having a nice, relaxing Saturday. Not worrying about football, just watching.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil too much UConn talk because I – you know, ultimately agree with everything you're saying here, but there is a very small part of my brain, probably like less than 1%, that is scared to death of a game like this and how embarrassing it would be. And the only reason I'm scared is because, again, Brown is hurt, and the potential for bad weather is somewhat of an equalizer. So there is a universe in which we could possibly lose, and that would be just about as bad as anything I've had to experience as a BC fan.
I'll put my money where my mouth is here. If we lose to UConn on Saturday, Dad should be fired on the spot.
Wow.
He shouldn't be allowed back on the bus.
That's something. That is something.
That's how worried I am about the game on Saturday. So that's my dude. Just looking forward to just a AJ Dillon fest. Haven't seen
Connecticut's
some old
finest,
friends.
By the way. Connecticut's finest running all over his home state team. I'm looking forward to that too as a Connecticut guy.
And by the way, Adazio, also a Connecticut guy. A lot of roots in Connecticut. So no chance they lose. Just should be a great day on Saturday. I can't wait.
Yeah, I agree. I think with that, let's get into UConn talk. I'll start it off with a fun fact because I'm not going to steal yours this week. Fun fact, again, I'm a Connecticut guy. Got to love in-state tuition. If I decided to go to UConn instead of BC, I would have saved my parents over $200,000 over the course of 4 years. So sorry, Mom and Dad. I know you guys listen sometimes. I'll take you out to dinner or something sometime to make up for that $200,000 that you guys could have saved. So I appreciate it.
Well, if you think about the investment side of it, you probably would have broken even. You know, because you would be unemployed and probably working at, I don't know what UConn grads do.
Man, don't you dare hate on Hartford and all the jobs in the insurance industry in the insurance city. I'll let you say a lot of things. I will not let you besmirch Hartford on this podcast.
So Matt is a closet UConn fan, which puts him in a tough spot as far as rooting interests go this weekend.
That's big news, but yeah, keep going.
That's my fun fact. Another fun fact is the university. And for anyone that knows Mudstock, this is an interesting copycat situation. The university hosts the largest mud volleyball tournament in the nation called Ooze Ball, O-O-Z-E Ball, that draws thousands of people every year. Yeah, thousands of students that enter. I don't think there's spectators.
Man, no, it's just students. It's just students.
Anyway, it's a direct ripoff of BC's Mudstock.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you there, but I like where your head's at.
How's that? What do you mean?
I mean, I think theirs has been around for a much longer time. I think we just have a mud volleyball tournament. I think ours has probably come a little late.
Matt, why don't you see if you can maybe give the university a call, see if you can retroactively transfer to UConn. Just go there, and then we never would have met.
That would be nice. We wouldn't be wasting my time talking to UConn on a podcast with you. All right. Any other fun facts?
No, that was my one. By the way, BC was founded in 1863. UConn was founded in... Do you know? I don't know,
but I'm also going to wager to guess that we were playing mud volleyball.
I'm hoping afterwards.
In 1863.
I think we were doing it before UConn. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Disagree, but okay.
All right. That is the fun facts.
Those were fun.
We will jump into the UConn alumni now. Matt, why don't you kick it off?
Sure. So I'll go with the biggest name here by far. Meg Ryan, first overall pick. I would say definitely the biggest all-time celebrity coming out of UConn. Haven't seen her in a movie in many years, but of course she was famous for many of her performances in the 90s. Feel like every movie Tom Hanks was in the 90s, she also got to play a role in. So shout out Meg Ryan.
Matt, had the misfortune of catching You Got Mail once.
Yep.
Talk about just the worst movie ever. You get the, it's they write emails to each other, but they don't know who they are, and they talk in their head in like that overtone voice, whatever it's called.
You Got Mail.
Well, that too.
Is that what you're talking?
No, it's like they're thinking, Well, they're typing it out, but they're also saying it out loud. You gotta watch the movie. It's just it's the worst movie ever. I don't understand it. Other than they're emailing a lot, and they don't like each other. But at the end, I think they do like each other.
And that is, by the way, that is Tom Hanks. So there you go.
That's what I'm exactly. I don't know what else Meg Ryan's in. Maybe Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle.
The other one?
Yep. Also Tom Hanks. And
those are the two that I know.
Are those sequels? Anyone know? I don't know. Sound off in the comments. what is the one of those movies Goo Goo Dolls does a lot of the soundtracks for? And I don't know if it's – I'm not sure which one that is. So.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to keep going?
Yeah, it's not You Got Mail. I don't think –
Is it Sleepless in Seattle? I feel like it's a 90s movie that I think Tom Hanks and or Meg Ryan is in.
Matt, we're going to keep going here.
Let's keep rolling. Yep, let's keep rolling.
I'm going to go with – in my two-hole here, I will go with – let's see. Bob's Discount Furniture Guy.
Yeah, love Bob.
So, I mean, if you're from New England, I think it's New England, right?
It's New England, New York, too. I see it in New York all the time now. I don't know if you have it in Jersey, but yeah.
No, I don't think I've seen those. But those commercials are, I think they're actually pretty funny. You got the little Bob. Sometimes he's animated, but obviously, you know, he's done pretty good for himself building that that furniture empire.
Great stores. Great stores, by the way. Yeah, keep going if you're going to get on that.
No, Matt, why don't you participate here?
Well, you know, I'm a Connecticut guy, and I know he's in Mass, too. But, yeah, they have mini golf. They have free candy. Just a great time if you have to go furniture shopping.
IMAX Theater, the IMAX, too, right?
No, that's Jordan's.
Oh, wow.
Which is better. Yep. Jordan's is a slightly richer Bob's.
Because I was going to say, if you've been in New Haven, there's, like, this rock climbing wall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Jordan's.
That's a Jordan's furniture.
Jordan's.
So,
love Jordan's.
Yeah, Jordan, I don't know where he went, probably – I don't know, Matt.
He's got a ponytail. Probably be you.
That was funny, Matt.
Thanks.
In my three hole here, I'm going to go with Kevin McDonald, who is probably the opposite of Bob. Bob's just kind of this fun-loving furniture guy. Kevin McDonald is a psychology professor who recently published a trilogy that proves, Matt, that Jews are genetically driven to destroy Western societies.
Yikes.
So that's the type of human being that UConn is spitting out.
That is not good. That's a bad look for the Huskies.
Yeah.
Was he a recent alumnus?
I think he was from the 70s, but he's like one of those like alt-right Nazi kind of guys.
Sure.
So,
all right. Well, I guess I'm glad I spent the extra $200K to not matriculate the same university as that guy.
There you go. And BC, by the way, I mean it's not like a Jew fest. Can I say Jew fest?
Yeah, whatever.
But you know, we're certainly a little more friendly than that. So
definitely. All right, we'll get off that and we'll move to my fourth pick. I'm going to go Bobby Moynihan, the SNL cast member. He's been on the show for a really long time. I think he might have been one of the longest running behind Keenan. Most notable probably for Drunk Uncle. I think that's probably his most recognizable skit. Just a very funny guy. I will say he's slightly advantaged because of the fact that he is overweight. I think fat people are just always going to be funnier than not fat people. Obviously, Chris Farley is a great example of that, as well as a whole host of others. But Bobby Moynihan is one of the favorites of this generation for me.
He was on my list because I thought he was the guy from The Internship, the guy that works at Google and has the headphones.
No, that's not him. Yep, different guy. So also fat, Josh Gad, also a fat.
Exactly.
Funny guy.
I crossed him off my list after that.
Okay, that makes sense. And I got one more, right?
Yep.
All right. So I you know that my rule here is I normally don't like to go with football alumni, but I have to give a little love to Dan Orlovsky, former UConn great, former NFL backup great. Most notable for two things. One, he got UConn their first ever bowl win. It was actually the Motor City Bowl in Detroit over Toledo, I want to say. That's going off memory. Good job by me. Again, I grew up a UConn fan in UConn country. But I would say throughout the rest of the world, he is much more known as the quarterback who stepped out of the back of the end zone while scrambling.
Yes, that's how I know
him. As a Lions player against the Vikings. Just an all-time bad quarterback play there. So he will always have a space in the backup quarterback Hall of Fame.
He is one of the ultimate Lions, I would say, from
completely.
That stretch of time where they just couldn't win a single game. So, yeah, that's a good one there, Matt. In my sixth hole, I'm going to go with a guy by the name of Charlie Villanueva,
who
obviously was a basketball player, but more importantly, he has not a single follicle of hair on his body.
True.
Just a scary, scary guy. He also has three brothers. They're all named Roberto.
Okay.
So
Charlie's the odd man.
Exactly. Yeah, probably because he had no hair.
Yep. That could do it.
Kevin Garnett once called him a cancer to the league, not a cancer patient.
Allegedly,
to the league and to society. So,
yeah, it depends who you believe there, but okay.
Hey, fair foul. I think that's okay to say. So kudos to KG there. That's just some good old-fashioned trash talk
maybe,
there, Matt.
Maybe a little over the line, but all right, we'll go with it. And then the other honorable mention here, you got to give some love to George Springer. Did he won MVP, right?
Man, I don't know.
I think he won World Series MVP, not regular season, but yeah, I think he won World Series MVP, a UConn baseball graduate. They've got a couple good professional baseball players. Matt Barnes, relief pitcher
awful
for the Sox,
haircut.
Actually stinks, but
awful
still
haircut
gets not made
Springer.
Into the league. Yeah, but he's not a bad-looking guy overall.
Yeah, it's a bad haircut, Matt. Haircut.
Okay. Well, again, as a baseball player,
words.
Yeah, but as a baseball player, you don't see that often. You know, if you're a basketball
exactly.
player, you can't get away with that. But
that's what happens. You take off the biscuit, and you see the hair like that, and it's just it really freaked me out the first time I saw it.
Maybe it's just hair.
No, it's meant to be like that. Okay. He's from the Jersey Shore.
Tough.
That's talking George Springer.
All right.
What's next, Matt?
Let's do some tailgate ability rankings.
Okay, but it's actually RV rankings, right?
Oh shoot, travel ability rankings. Good point.
It's an away game.
The whole Boston fact is getting a little confusing here. But okay, travel ability rankings.
And the way this works is, how many RVs would you want to take to Fenway Park?
Out of five. And you can do partial
traffic.
RVs.
Yep. You're thinking traffic. You're thinking maybe not a great tailgating scene. So there's not a lot of grass around, Fenway.
Except in the outfield.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, let me just say, it's out of five.
Yeah, it's out of five. Yep.
I'm gonna give it a 4.7.
Okay.
I said it earlier, but this game's obviously been crossed on my calendar.
Circled on your calendar. Yeah, cross is the opposite. Yeah.
Yikes! Yeah, it's been circled for a while. 2 years ago, I guess, at this point, we just had a great time at Yard House for the day. Watched a very surprising BC nearly pulled it out against Notre Dame out of nowhere, which would have been awesome. But, very entertaining game. But just a great day at Yard House. Spent probably 9 hours there. And, again, just
some
a great
of us,
time.
Some of us had too
everyone's,
much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that you? Is that you, Ruby?
I think it was probably all of us. But I'm kind of referring to myself here.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I did, too, also. But.
Yeah.
You see a ton of old friends and just a great day. So, Fenway Park is obviously that is Boston. Haven't been to Boston in a minute, man. I don't know if you have either, probably since, it's Notre Dame.
Notre Dame would have been it. Yeah. So,
we're overdue for a visit. So I got 4.7.
All right. I like that score. So I'm very excited for this as well. I have this at 4.2, which is still a very high score. I'll say I'm a little bit disappointed because obviously when this game was originally scheduled, it was supposed to be at Rentschler. In East Hartford, Connecticut, which is just about 10 minutes from, where I grew up, and, where my parents' house still is. So I was very excited for a few reasons. One, it was just kind of be the home base for, our group at BC 2013. We were going to have, some friends staying at the house and then shooting over to the tailgate lot, potentially getting one of our sponsors to kind of hook us up with a tailgate or maybe a box or something like that. We obviously have a lot of Hartford money in this podcast, so good job by us, but that's not to be. So, definitely a little disappointed there, but overall still high score. It will be a lot of fun. The weather is every minute I check, it's getting a little bit better. It's slowly pushing off. So I'm thinking we should be dry for at least most of the game. Now our seats are under the overhang, which is fortunate, but, 4.2, it's definitely going to be an awesome day.
I agree 100% with that. Matt, I didn't do any research as far as UConn football goes. Here's what I know. I know that we weren't that great last year, and we beat them by a million. We shut them out, right? 30-0?
30-0, yep.
So if you extrapolate that with this year's team, I don't want to give away my score prediction just yet, but I don't think this game's ever in question. I think we give it to it's like Central Michigan. If Central Michigan, if like you cut off the legs of all their players,
yep.
UConn, it stinks so bad. They gave up 70 points to Memphis. I don't really have much else in the way of X's and O's here, Matt. We should win this game by a million. I'm not worried about anything they can do on offense or defense.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much right there with you. Again, obviously 30-0 last year. Shout out to Patrick Tolles, former guest and huge fan of our Twitter game, by the way. Just an awesome guy. Anyways, Randy Edsall, former neighbor, now the head coach back at UConn again. I think that he ultimately will be a good hire, but he certainly, I don't think, has the team where they should be yet. Vegas.
I miss Diaco.
Diaco is a character. Yeah, I would love to have a BC UConn rivalry trophy, like the Civil Conflict, but I guess we'll never have that pleasure in our lives. But Vegas has this as a 22-point favorite, which is just crazy high for again, quite frankly, a team without a starting quarterback who didn't look awesome the week before. So you got to follow the money. If they have us at 22 points, they know that UConn is just so bad. I think Dylan, the Connecticut boy, runs for 10,000 yards, and you know, it's really never in doubt.
Was Wade starting when we beat Howard by 76?
I believe he would have been, right? Yeah. Yep.
It must be Wade. I think it's 76-0. I think that's the score, Matt.
All right.
Not actually. I think it's going to be. I don't have a score ready, Matt. Why don't you give me yours first, so I can adjust mine as necessary.
Yeah. So the other thing I'll say is that we're on somewhat of a quarterback watch. Obviously, we have Wade getting the ball.
Oh, Jeff Smith, by the way.
Well, I think Jeff Smith should be the backup, but right now it's EJ Perry, the freshman. Who, let me just say, EJ Perry should be a black guy. Like, I thought for sure that he was a dual threat quarterback every single time his name was brought up.
What if you add in the fourth, EJ Perry the fourth?
That hurts a little bit.
That whites him up a little bit, right?
Yeah, that does. That's true. But I read this all week being like, oh, we just have, you know, basically like another dual threat quarterback.
How about when you realized he's from Andover, Massachusetts?
I did not realize that either, so shout out to you.
Really? Are you kidding?
No, I did not know that. I don't really pay attention to like our third string recruits. I also don't care about John Fadul, who's now out for the year either. But anyways, I would like to see Jeff Smith be the backup and just run the Tyler Murphy offense, but if it's Perry, it's Perry, and, you know, whatever, get a little more experience under his belt. Prediction time, I think Dylan runs all over them. I really don't think they can do much in the way of stopping us or scoring on us. They obviously couldn't last year. I'm going to go 42-7. I think we score more than we did last year, and I think we just kind of let the reins off a little bit at the end, and they happen to grab 7 points. 42-7, feel pretty confident about that 35-point win, comfortably covering the spread, and we all go home happy.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think they're pissed off, Matt. I think they'll run up the score. And I think we have – even our backups are actually pretty good. There's a deeper – I'm talking purely offense because I don't think UConn has much in the way of offense. So I think that, you know, we could probably get into the 50s on them. I'm going to say 52-6 is my guess. Everyone's fired up, but we're on the same wavelength. It's going to be a lot to a little. Shout out EJ Perry, by the way, Andover High guy. Hopefully we don't see him yet. I don't want to burn his red shirt just yet. Hopefully that, you know, between Wade and Smith, they should be able to carry the load. Smith, by the way, has a perfect QBR, I believe, still, right?
That sounds about right to me.
And he's got three touchdowns or something. I don't know the actual stats, but I think he can do a lot of damage against a team like this. Maybe bring back Flutie. I don't know, Matt, but you know, between Wade and Smith, they shouldn't have any issues and should be able to treat it kind of like a gear up game for Syracuse, hopefully. So, but it'll be a fun day in BC by a billion.
Yeah, I feel good about that. Thanks again for listening. Another fun episode. Not sure what we're going to do next week yet with the holiday, but we'll keep you posted if we end up recording or not. But if we don't, we're going to make sure to get all of our alumni out on Twitter and Instagram. So be sure to follow us there. If you're in Boston for the game on Saturday, swing by Yard House. We'll definitely have a big 2013 contingent there. Plenty of maroon and gold all day. So it should be an awesome time up at the friendly Fenway. And let's all get excited for a big BC win.
It's always a great day to be a dude. It's time.